Welcome to the Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast, brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Rail Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Rail and Intermodal, Todd Tranowski. As Todd presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading a PDF or PowerPoint version of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads of the Rail Market Update, as well as the weekly Trucking Market Update with Avery Weiss and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the FTR State of Freight Rail Market Update podcast. As always, I am your host, Todd Tranowski, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal here at FTR. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for taking time out of your busy week to join us here today as we talk about the rail and intermodal markets. Before we jump in, I want to take a moment and remind everybody that we are planning to gather in person this fall, this September, the week of September 13th, the Crown Plaza Union Station in downtown Indianapolis. It'll be good to see everybody again, see everybody's smiling faces, be able to see everybody and discuss the industry in person. I know a lot of folks are Zoomed out or are tired of all of the Zoom and everything that goes into Zooming these days. We hope that you will take a chance to be with us in person. It's going to be a little bit different this year. We have some capacity limitations. We have a tracked format for you so that each day is going to be a little bit of a different topic. The rail freight and rail equipment days are going to be two different days back to back. The truck and trailer equipment are going to be 2 days also back to back that week. So if you care about the truck freight markets, if you care about the rail markets, we have you covered over our usual 4 days in Indianapolis. So do make your plans, put it on your calendar now, get out ahead of the curve and plan to be with us in September, mid-September in the Crown Plaza Union Station in downtown Indianapolis. Now let's jump in this week and talk about the markets. We're seeing carload and intermodal sort of level off. Things are sort of settling into steady seasonal patterns, sort of steady as she goes for a lot of these commodity groups. And you'll see as we go through here what that means. Intermodal has steadied out. We are hanging out right just above 370,000 carloads a week. Now we've been there for about the last month, right at that same, essentially the same absolute level of car loadings, essentially just a little bit below where we were at the peak levels back in January when we were up about 380, 385,000 carloads a week. So we're still hanging out in that ballpark and we're not moving up, which is interesting. We'll have to see how we see that going forward, what that means. We've had a carrier come out and announce surcharges, particularly out of Southern California on intermodal freight. We'll have to see how that plays into these numbers. Does that dent these numbers at some point in the coming weeks? We'll just have to see. Conventional wisdom right at the moment says no, because the competing truck market is also so very tight that shippers are going to take capacity wherever they can get it, even if that means paying a surcharge to move their goods intermodally. And intermodal, even though it's been flat, is at a very strong level. We're 40, 45,000 carloads a week above our five-year average. Things are performing very, very well in the intermodal space. We need to not lose sight of that. Even as things flatten out, we're flattening out at a very strong result. That's a good sign. It's a good sign for anybody in the intermodal space. And it really is broad-based across both sides of the intermodal complex. The trailer market, trailers are operating at very strong levels. They're holding right about 25,000 carloads a week. Again, holding flat, but holding flat at a very strong result. About 2,000 carloads a week above our five-year average number. That's a very strong number for the trailer market. If you'd have told me a year ago this where we were going to be in the trailer markets, I'm not sure I would have believed you. But certainly things changed quickly. About almost exactly a year ago, things started to change quickly in the trailer market. And here we are, consistently running 24, 25,000 carload a week numbers. And we'll have to see how long that can continue. But for the moment, it is continuing and continuing along well. The container volume, sort of like general intermodal, which you would expect, containers are 90% of total intermodal traffic. steady at a high level, showing a little bit of a deterioration in the latest week, but not anything material per se to the overall story. We're still running right about 350 or so thousand carloads a week, and just sort of holding that ground, about 40,000 carloads a week above our five-year average. So flat, but flat at a strong level. Nothing to really be concerned about there. As we think about the overall intermodal market, we're probably going to hold these levels for the next little while, probably through the balance of the year and possibly into next year, depending on just how strong the economy is and the economy remains as we go forward in time. Switching over to the carload markets, things have improved a little quicker than we expected in the carload market. We expected carload to take its sweet time coming back, and it did, but it certainly recovered quicker than we had anticipated, and it's held those levels. It's come back essentially back to where it was before February's weather disruptions hit, and it's just sort of held those levels, right? About 330,000 or so carloads a week, about 10,000 carloads or so below its five-year average, but just treading water, holding its own, just sort of hanging out there. And that's a good thing. That says that the carload market's hanging in there, that we haven't seen a dramatic drop-off. We haven't seen dramatic share shift. We've sort of held our own in the carload markets. Economically sensitive freight, now that means, you know, no coal, no ag, no petroleum. We're just sort of hanging out there. We're hanging out right about 192, 193,000 carloads a week. A little bit below the five-year average, but just sort of slowly and steadily recovering. We had a dramatic tick back up from the weather issues, and now we've just sort of settled here. Now it's a much slower slog to get those last few carloads back into the economically sensitive category. But we're really, at this point, very close to where we were back in February before the weather took us off the rails, so to speak, pun intended. The coal markets, nothing to see here, nothing really to get overly excited about. We're trending flat to weaker. Normally you would see a flat, a little bit up pattern this time of year. We're not seeing any indication of that. We're headed back to 65,000 carloads a week pretty dramatically. The year-over-year comparisons, don't get too hung up on those. They are positive. They're going to be positive for the next several weeks because of the fact that we're comparing against the heart of the pandemic, the COVID shutdown in 2020. So even a modest number will look good on a year-over-year basis compared against that. On an absolute level, we're still just not doing a whole lot, not showing any signs of life, and not expected to show any signs of life in coal as we go forward. Grain is running well and continues to strive back to those peaks that we saw right before the weather came into effect. We're working our way back to those levels. We're right about 39,000 or so carloads a week, significantly above the five-year average. And grain, as we talked about in the last 2 weeks, is expected now to continue to keep posting strong results all the way through 2021 and into 2022. That's a good news story for the carload business. That's an overall good story for the railroads. It's bulk business. It's not generally subject to share shift. The fact that things are continuing to run well, the fact that things are expected to continue to run well, we have trade headwinds essentially off the table at this point in a Biden administration. These are good things for the grain market. These are good things for the carload space as we go forward. Chemicals traffic, we're almost now fully recovered in the numbers from where we were before the winter weather shutdown. We've made our V. We're essentially back to where we were. It took a while. You know, chemical plants, refineries do not take unplanned disruptions very well. And so it takes a while to get those facilities back online. We are now there. We are now back to where we were before the shutdowns. And so we are seeing things normalize in the chemical space. We are seeing volumes get back to where we were before we had our hiccups back in February. That's a good sign. It's a good sign for the economy. We've heard a lot, seen a lot written in the press about plastics shortages, you know, in a lot of different groups, whether that's automotive, whether that's furnishings. We've seen a lot of different reports of that, of things that people didn't think had plastic in them. They're coming to find out do and were affected by the production shutdown that we had about 6 weeks ago now. That's just now getting back to normal, just now flowing again at a normal rate through the supply chain. On the chemical side of the house, an important thing to note is that not a lot of it is petroleum. A lot of the strength that you're seeing in overall chemicals are base chemicals. They are overall industrials. They are plastic resins. They are not necessarily petroleum products. They are not necessarily crude by rail. They are not necessarily refined products exports to Mexico. Petroleum products are really sort of settling into a seasonal pattern, sort of a slow drift down to about 20,000 carloads a week. We saw the bump when the crude price got up to about $65 a barrel. As it's come back down toward 57, 58, we've seen those loadings come back proportionally. So we're right back about 20,000 carloads a week, right in line with our five-year average number. Not a whole lot to see in petroleum products. Stone, sand, and gravel, with the overall non-metallic mineral space showing a lot of strength. Now, that strength is slowing, particularly in stone, sand, and gravel, but we're still sort of moving, at least seasonally at this point, up and to the right. We're still 4,000 carloads a week below our five-year average. We're still not in a great spot here, and the infrastructure bill that's gotten a lot of press, gotten a lot of discussion in the industry, may not be as positive for stone, sand, and gravel and other non-metallic minerals, other construction materials, as we would have thought, because it's not entirely focused on traditional infrastructure. There's a lot of things in there that are not necessarily required to move by rail in order to construct. They are not traditional highway projects. They are not, you know, traditional construction projects where you need a lot of aggregate, a lot of lumber, a lot of steel to build them. They are smaller goods. They are electronic goods in some cases that move a lot better and a lot more efficiently by truck than they do by rail. And so we don't think the infrastructure bill is going to have as nearly the positive impact in for rail and for rail freight, particularly this stone, sand, and gravel category that we would have thought had it been more tailored toward traditional infrastructure projects, traditional roads, bridges, locks, dams, railroad culverts, things like that. Instead, it's more tailored toward Amtrak. It's more tailored toward broadband. It's more tailored toward water quality issues, which, not to say they're not important, they just have less of a freight impact. They have less of a transportation impact, which is what we're focused on, what we're looking at the impact for from an FTR perspective. And so we don't expect to see the same level of impact that you would see if it were more weighted toward traditional highway transit barge projects per se. Lumber and wood, another construction sector. We've seen a little bit of life here, really just seasonal movements over the last month, a little bit stabler than we have been, than we were right before the weather issue. But we'll have to see here. There should be demand for lumber and wood. There should be a structural demand in the supply chain. So that means the fact that we're not seeing it here is either, one, it's a supply shortage, or number two, folks want the goods so much that they're willing to move it on truck, that they're willing to pay for expedited flatbed truck freight to get their building materials, to get their lumber and wood to the job site, to get their construction, to get their new homes largely finished before the market turns around. And we'll have to see. If we don't see it turn around here meaningfully over the next month, we're going to have to conclude that that's what's going on here, that we're not seeing it translate into rail loading. The people want their lumber so quickly that carload service, manifest service, is just not sufficient for the timeliness of their needs. Pulp and paper markets. We got back to our five-year average about a month ago, and now we have taken a turn off the cliff a little bit. We're down a couple hundred carloads from where we were. We're well below the five-year average. We haven't seen pulp and paper really respond. We haven't seen corrugated board demand come back the way we had hoped. We haven't seen box board demand come back the way we had hoped. We'll have to watch this as we go forward to see if there's a turn. Right now, it's not showing much signs of it. Automotive volumes, we've settled into a seasonal pattern here in terms of seasonal reductions, but we're below the five-year average. And with announcements this week in the trade press that additional manufacturing facilities across a number of different brands, a number of different badges are going to come offline for temporary shutdowns over the next couple of weeks because of part shortages, this number is going to come under increasing pressure as we go forward. You know, the year-over-year comparison is essentially meaningless because it compares to when most of the North American automobile production was shut down during COVID on an absolute basis. We're below the five-year average, and we're expected to see more pressure downward on that number as these facility closures, temporary though they are, take effect and take an impact on the number. So to wrap up, carload sectors are really sort of settling into patterns or settling into seasonal expectations. We've seen that over a number of them, whether it's lumber and wood, whether it's automotive, whether it's coal. You know, you're starting to see a settling into patterns here as we get into the second quarter, get into more normal weather. Folks are sort of settling down, taking a breath, and just sort of seeing how things are going to shake out as we go through the balance of 2021. Intermodal is performing very well. You know, you look at it, you say flat's not very well. It's several thousand, tens of thousands carloads above its five-year average. It's operating at a very strong level. It's expected to have the best year of any carload commodity. Intermodal is supposed to be up 10% this year, and right now it's on pace to do even a little better than that. So things are definitely well in the automotive, in the intermodal space, excuse me. And when you look at the truck market, which if you haven't listened to my colleague Avery Weiss's Trucking Market Update podcast, I highly encourage you to do so. That market's going to remain tight for several months into the future, if not several quarters into the future, potentially all the way into 2022. And as Avery will tell you, that can reverse quickly. But right now, based on what we're seeing, it's going to be hard to find capacity in the truckload market to move this freight. Folks are going to have to come to the intermodal market. They're going to have to come to the carload markets to get their freight moved. And with that, we're going to wrap it up. Thank you for joining us this week. Feel free to reach out to myself or any member of the FTR team at any point if we can be of assistance to you. We're always happy to talk about the industry, talk about the market, hear what you're seeing in the marketplace. Obviously, we don't want to construct observations in a bubble. We want to hear from you, hear what's going on out in the marketplace. So feel free to reach out to myself or any member of the FTR team to chat with about the markets at any time. Again, have a great week. My name is always Todd Trinowski, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal here at FTR. Have a great week.
That's it for this week's Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. The Rail Market Update will be published each week along with a downloadable PDF of the presentation. If you find this transportation intelligence useful, please take a moment to give us a positive rating on your podcast platform of choice and send us your feedback by email at podcast@ftrintel.com. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.